we can often find us in that place where we are asked to do something and makes us uncomfortable, makes us not want to put ourselves out there. Maybe it's at work where the boss is asking for a volunteer to do something. Or maybe it's at school where the teacher or the class is asking a volunteer to step forward. And it's a good thing. It's not like we're being punished or it's the worst thing in the world, but it means that we'll have to put ourselves out there to do more. And maybe it is something that we would really love to do and enjoy to do, but we don't want to necessarily be noticed by everyone. Then it might be that after a little thinking and no one else has volunteered to step forward, we volunteer to step forward. And then the jealousy begins, the indignation begins, people start saying, well, they're only doing it so they look good, all those other things. That's our experience, and that is what tonight in our gospel, James and John, in some ways are experiencing from their friends, the other 10 disciples. Why are they asking to sit at Jesus' right and left? And I think if you take this gospel and place it in the wider context of the gospel, we begin to understand what's going on. This is chapter 10 of the Gospel of Mark. We're two-thirds of the way through his gospel. Right? The next big thing that happens in the gospel is Jesus has his last supper with his disciples. He goes to the garden. He gets arrested. He gets tortured. He carries his cross. And he is nailed and dies upon the cross. So at this point in the gospel, the disciples have been with him for 3 years. They've been listening to him again and again and again tell the stories that we hear in snippets throughout the year. They have heard a dozen times the Sermon on the Mount. They've heard numerous times the proclamation of the kingdom. They've seen hundreds, if not thousands, of healings. They've been witnessing the mercy of Jesus. And they have certainly heard this over and over again. Ask my Father in heaven for whatever you want, and he will give it to you. Knock insistently on the door, and God will answer you. Seek, and you will find. All of those sayings have been rattling around in their heads. They've seen Jesus do miracles. They've seen their friend Peter say, "You are the Christ, the Son of God." And so today, when James and John look at Jesus and say, "We want to sit at your right and at your left," well, that's a heck of a request. And it's a request that actually each one of us should be making. Jesus, I want to be with you always. Jesus, let me sit at your right when you come into your glory. Because with all the other things they've heard Jesus say several times now, this is what's going to happen to me and to you. They're going to arrest me, they're going to beat me, and they're going to kill me. And if you are my followers, the same is going to happen. They know the prophet Isaiah's prophecy that we heard tonight, that he will be crushed, that he will be broken, that he will die for our sins. And yet they ask that question, Jesus, may we? And they might have asked a little odd and wrong, Jesus, do whatever we ask of you, okay? But it wasn't that they were asking because they thought, wow, this will be a great deal. They were asking because they loved Jesus. And they wanted to be with him. Because we notice that Jesus doesn't say to them, "Go away, silly boys. That's not a good question. You can't ask that." Rather, we ask him, "Do you know what you are asking? Do you really think you can do this?" And what do they say? "Yes, we can." So Jesus says to them, "Okay, I'll take you at your word as you've taken me at mine. You will drink the cup that I must drink. You will be baptized in the death that I will be baptized in." Now, we know the rest of the gospel, right? On the day they were really supposed to stand up, they ran. But that wasn't the end of the story, of course, because they knew better. They knew God's love more than the fear that overtook them in that moment. And they gathered together once more as Jesus came to them, healed them, breathed his Holy Spirit on them, and sent them forth to finish the gospel, to be servants to all. Because they had heard the many other things, they also heard, "When did you come to visit me when I was alone, imprisoned, sick, thirsty, dying, naked? Because when you did that, you saw me." Because Jesus says to us, it's not mine to give, to sit at the right or the left. We've been given that in baptism already. We don't have to ask for it. God freely gave it to us. When he poured the water of the Holy Spirit upon us, we are sitting at God's right hand and left hand. We remain there when we choose to become servants of the living God. When we choose to serve and care for the poorest of the poor, the abandoned, the homeless, the sick, the dying, those who are crushed, those who have been frightened, those who need someone just to listen to them or a pat on the back. Because Jesus doesn't ask us to do a heck of a lot. He just asks us to give ourselves completely. Because at one point he even says to the disciples, "If you want to go to heaven, give the person who's thirsty a glass of water." But it doesn't end with me walking up and saying, "Oh, here's a glass of water. Whew, I'm done. Heaven, here I come," right? Because it is that continuous gift of ourselves where we share ourselves completely and fully with God, with his church, with his holy people, that we enter into the kingdom, that we remain at the right and the left as we remain in service of God and his holy people. That is the call of the discipleship. That is a call that Jesus gives tonight to his disciples as he reminds them that it's not about just asking, but it's about doing also. It's about being with him, to share our lives with him and each other in the service of one another. And that is what we are each called to do as sons and daughters of God, is to serve, to care for, to bless, to be ministers to one another. And during this time of stewardship, that is the call that we are asking you to listen carefully to pray about in a deep way, to take time to ask that question, "God, how may I serve you and your church today? What are you calling me to do today? How can I be of service today to you?" And then to listen to God's call. And God's call might be a friend saying, "Hey, I'm a lector. Maybe you should be a lector. Or I'm a member of the Altar Society. Maybe you should be a mentor of the Altar Society." That might be God's voice speaking to you. We might not like that voice and not want to follow that voice, but it is God's voice calling us. And so today, as we continue to pray and lift up those who minister in our church, we remind ourselves that we are all called to share the ministry of the baptized, caring for one another, caring for those who are around us, caring for God's holy church.